It's June 20th, 2018. It's about 7:32 a.m. I just wanted to get a few quick notes down this morning. I guess I was kind of thinking about the nautical tradition that's in our family, and especially on my father's and grandfather, his father's side, my fraternal grandfather. Is that right? Paternal and fraternal. Anyway, my father's father. The son of a son of a sailor man. It just reminds me of that song. But so one of the things that I was kind of thinking about was the I think it was in a poem. It said one of the lines said something about, maybe God grant me or give me, maybe that's what it is, give me a tall ship and a star to steer her by. And it was it kind of made me think about how choice of first magnitude really is the star that we steer by. I talk about the cascade. Everything cascades down from that choice of first magnitude. And what I mean by that choice of first magnitude is the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. We choose those principles and priorities. It's what I term our standard of measure. This choice of the principles that we live by and how we prioritize our intention, of course, that's determined by those priorities, the principles that we live by, but also how we prioritize our attention. So it's the intention, but also our attention. That's how we prioritize what's important to us. And from this standard of measure, from these standard references that we choose, that our lives revolve around, everything about our lives basically cascades down from that. So what I realized was in the case of the connect the dots puzzle and the jigsaw puzzle, the way I've kind of differentiated those is the connect the dots is more the conceptual level, how we conceive of. That's our thought instruments, abstract. Again, this is has to do with how we choose the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. And then the jigsaw puzzle has to do, to me, with what I refer to as an operational platform. So in the final summary, that choice of first magnitude, our standard of measure, is the star that we steer by, and everything cascades down from that. And then the tall ship is the operational platform. Now, I term the full term that I use is many diverse operational platforms, because they're various. They're far ranging. Corporations, governments, churches, these are all forms of corporate entities or organizations. Let's see, what's that from a flagship operation benchmark, a flagship, oh, I can't think of what it's called now, and an organizational, anyway, that's, I've got it in my notes somewhere, but so it's that mirror relationship between the operational platform and the direction or course that the steerage, basically, that platform is being steered towards It's kind of like the goal, the vision, the result, the outcome that is desired or is the goal of the action of the presence. So I guess just to make that a little simpler and a little less choppy, it's just about it's about a tall ship. So that's the operational platform. To me, that's the jigsaw puzzle. It's bounded. If you take our Earth as a whole, there are a finite number of participants. I talk about that in the worldwide reality game. Now, of course, it's in flux. You have births and deaths of individuals that are occurring constantly, but it is framed. It's framed within the context of our world. Operational platform, and of course, in some of my modeling, that's our ship. It is our ship, and we're the cast of characters, or we're the crew. It's our watch. That's kind of one of the ways I have referred to that. And then the star to steer by. Well, this comes back to our visions, and well, conflict of forces is, I've created the bookends for that as sustainability versus extinction. But then there's human conflict, and I've set that as a competition or competing ideologies. And these ideologies, that refers to our views, our vision of the way we would like the world to be, and how, and that comes back to value and gap analysis. Okay, this is how I'd like it to be. How do I steer, how do I, how do I render that result? How do I get from here to there? It's value and gap analysis. I value that vision, and I see the gap between the current state of affairs and the state of affairs that that individual envisions. And so, for simplicity's sake, and not to deal with too many variables, I have grouped that human conflict and the conflicting ideologies into two classes, into two groups. The one, or really two ideologies, the one being human rights on the one hand, and the other being class privilege, or the privileged class. So now, I think even scripture at some point talked about this, but I think going back to, it's the delicate balance, meaning the magic happens. That's wherein the delicate balance. That's where and when the magic happens. So I'm not taking the stance, or I'm not establishing a position where I say it has to be all about the human rights has to prevail in every way on every in every matter. Even like I said, even scripture I think talks about there's always going to be the privileged. And but I think it's, again, going back to the analogy or the modeling of the playground for the children, you don't want to disincentivize individual contribution. So when you work hard and you apply yourself, really it's initiative. When you embody initiative and you produce, then there should be rewards. So I wouldn't want to see completely equal, I guess, so to speak, playing field. I think what I had envisioned was something where basically, like Kurt Vonnegut said, that he saw the future of people being reduced to consumers on an allowance. So I guess I do agree with that to a level. I think that we should all take that worry, that stress away, provide individuals with the basic living allowance for the fundamental needs, shelter, clothing, food, heat in the winter, cool in the summer, the basic needs that we each require. And there may be some or many who are satisfied with that and do not seek anything much more. But on the other side of so that would the human rights, that would, and freedom of, there are certain freedoms that I of course would count within those human rights. It's basic education, health care, but with a responsibility that it's a partnership, that they must, that an individual needs to accept that a lot of their health situation is through their choices. We have to, it's not, it's a partnership. So, and the same with education. But with that said, once you get past those basic human rights, then you get into class privilege, where there are those who have the initiative to contribute more, to go far beyond just surviving. They thrive. And for those, I think there should be additional rewards. Now, I don't think it should be anchored so much in material, in consumerism. I think, well, I guess part of what I was just thinking about was, I think it would, well, it's kind of hero stories. I think instead of our heroes just being, like pop stars and movie stars and business people and sports stars, I think people who contribute, I think it would be that, socially, in a social economic system where people value more that contribution to the future of humanity, that we would hold those individuals in a higher esteem than we do now. I don't know, I just don't think that we give that contribution credit. And that leads back to one of the reasons I wanted to do this recording. I was thinking about the Tall Ship and the Star to Steer By, and I actually spoke briefly with someone yesterday about this, that we really, I think overall humanity doesn't quite understand how to value visionaries. And so, and I think this may have some to do with what's going on with the controversies in my life and times about global warming and about our stewardship, really, about of Earth, our stewardship of Earth, and that, we're on fossil fuels, and whether we're just not working with enough attention, good intent and attention and due diligence to not just find better technologies, but to deploy them. And of course, some of this could be based on a lack of knowledge and understanding, and some of it could just be based simply on greed. But if we are to move forward, we just, I think, well, I guess what I was really, I guess it would be best if I just framed it the way I had was kind of thinking about it. I talked to this other person about the crow's nest on a tall ship, and how the reason that the crow's nest is manned is because out on the open ocean, because of the curvature of the earth, the first thing that the lookout in the crow's nest sees is the crow's nest of the other ship and the lookout that's in the crow's nest if it's manned. And so I guess what I was kind of thinking, basically in this analogy, in this modeling, was so we could think of the lookout as a visionary. So as the lookout sees the crow's nest of the other ship over the tip of just coming over the horizon, so he sees the tip of the mast with the crow's nest on top, he starts to raise the alarm. And as the ships close, they'll see each of the lookouts will see more and more of the ship. First, the tip of the mast, then more of the mast, then the sails, and then finally the ship itself as they approach. But what it kind of reminded me of, again, I don't think we quite understand the value of visionaries, why we should value them. It's kind of like our visionaries are our lookouts, and they're seeing what's coming over the horizon. In other words, when the tip of the crow's nest appears over the horizon and is being able to be seen by the lookout, the individuals or the crew that's on the ship's deck, they see nothing. They're unaware. And I think that's kind of how I feel about the current times that I live in, that there are some things that we need to be wary of. Perhaps, global warming is one, and humanity's contribution to that. We talk about tipping points and runaway reactions, and of course, we really don't want to get there. But there's other things too. There's the we're reaching a point where there's less and less of a demand for human labor, and I've said to other individuals that at the same time that we're devaluing human labor, I hope that in step with that we do not devalue humanity and our humanity, I guess the humanity of one class of peoples to another. But there's, there's so many other things that might be coming over the horizon that people are raising, that our visionaries are raising alarm about, much like the lookout does to the crew below. They raise the alarm. Genetic engineering, genetically modified organisms, artificial intelligence, and the possibility, if not perhaps even the probability, of a fully conscious artificial intelligence. We really, we're, it's kind of like the song says, threshold of a dream. But I think what the visionaries say is, yes, we are on the threshold of a dream or a nightmare, and we won't know what it is until we get there. And if we reach a tipping point of a runaway reaction, we may be right at that point where it's almost too late to do anything about it. So that was kind of what I was thinking about this morning. I guess the only other thing I wanted to maybe mention was about the first four presentations, especially the stand and point. You know, really in the end, you know, I remember in my early walks I talked about if there was one thing that I could, one concept that I could share with others, that they, I could do it in such a way that it was shared in such a clear and concise manner that they could fully comprehend it. It would be that of the bridge function. But when I was sitting down to do this recording, one of the things that kind of struck me was what I'm really, you know, in stand and point, what I'm really pointing to is the gap. You see, and it's you know, we live in the gap. We live in the gap between everything that's humanly possible and what becomes probable. And this goes back to the sustainability versus extinction. But it's the bridge function that bridges that gap. So they're really one and the same. But for impact, you know, impact statements, you know, but for impact, in the end, I think, to make a stand and point to the gap, we live in the gap, and then follow that up with it's bridged through the bridge function, you know, that might be something that I wish to entertain as I'm sitting down to create the script for, or the channel markers, the waypoints for my first presentation. Anyway, I guess I kind of started this set of notes with, I was really focused more on two steps back, the material for two steps back, and just realized, you know, the correlation or the relationship between the line of that poem, "Grant me a tall ship and a star to steer by," and our star is that first, that choice of first magnitude, and it struck me, you know, orders of magnitude is what is how astronomers rank stars. What's really fascinating, I believe this is how I could be wrong about this, but it's how I remember it. The thing is when they rank the stars by magnitude, orders of magnitude, that's as they appear to us. It doesn't mean that is their true luminosity, brightness. It just means that's how much of that reaches us here that we can measure, that we can see, that we can observe, I guess is more the correct word. But what I, in the way I apply this, more closer and closer to the core is, you know, I said, well, let's take the point of friendship and then let's draw the connection to trust. So, you know, that's kind of how that connect the dots puzzle, that's, you know, and they're mutually, you know, I talk about rigging, the lines of rigging. You know, you connect the dots with the lines, and part of the way I saw that was kind of like the ship's rigging, you know, where the mast is supported and held in, you know, and held in place basically by the rigging. But, you know, for that concept of friendship, I think for most people, in that constellation of concepts, it's like you reach up and you say, okay, this is the point. And let's say in this case, that point is friendship. Well, when you reach up and you, when you reach and consider that point, To me, there is a constellation of concepts that are so closely related that you can't really tug at one without tugging or viewing the entire constellation. And for me, I think, you know, trust is definitely is a point that is directly connected to friendship. If you have a friend you can't trust, how can it really be a friend? And it's about having standards. Now, there's many other points in that constellation, but I'm just trying to make it clear of how I view that. And of course, that comes down to the operational platform that guides our actions. And in closing, it reminds me of an episode of, I think it was Star Trek, The Next Generation, and the actor that played Guyan, I think was her name, was Whoopi Goldberg. There was a rift between the captain and some other individual, and there was non-communication. And at one point during the story, Guyan, the character Guyan, leveraged her friendship with the captain to get the two parties to speak. And the way she leveraged it was, Captain, I would like you to talk to a friend. So it was, for the captain, it was a friend of a friend. And that's how she reconnected the two individuals. And that's kind of what I'm trying to speak to here in these constellation of concepts. You know, I talk about fulcrums and how they, you know, you can leverage against, you can use the fulcrum point to leverage any load. And in that case, it was a friend of a friend to reconnect two individuals who had become disconnected, estranged. I'm not really sure exactly. It's been so long since I saw the episode, I don't remember it in detail. But very, you know, very powerful tools when skillfully applied. Anyway, I guess that's all for now. Signing off.